This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, Hour 1 on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Congratulations to the Dodgers, the city of Los Angeles, with the Lakers winning and now the Dodgers beating the Rays 3-1. Corey Seager, your MVP. But a game that was not without drama on the field, off the field, before the game, during the game, after the game. Lot to process. We'll try to figure all of this out. We'll talk to the manager of the world champion LA Dodgers. Dave Roberts will join us coming up a little bit later on. Also check in with Sean Casey, Major League Baseball Network analyst. Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen is going to stop by as well. No baseball tonight, no NFL tonight, no college football tonight. When's the last time we had a night without one of the four major sports? I know we have some soccer tonight, the Premier League, but probably back in July. Was the first time that we have gone without sports in the evening. I think it's a good thing. I think we can all take a night off here. This is one of those where you reintroduce yourself to your family. You know, hopefully your wife doesn't see through you and your phoniness. Like, you know what? I'm going to take a night off from watching sports. I'd like to just be around you, hon. Let's watch a show together. Let's watch a rom-com together. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can. You can dial us up. Marvin standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to Chat Row, our great radio affiliates around the country, and Peacock. You can watch for free all 3 hours. Simply download the app. Got a stat of the day, play of the day, all of that coming up, and a poll question from McLovin as well. You can't blame Dodger fans if they had become cynical, because for some time now, the Dodgers were the best team in baseball. It didn't result in a championship, and a lot of people probably thought, why would this year be different? Well, it turns out there was one big reason why this year was different. His name is Mookie Betts. When the Dodgers traded for him from the Red Sox, there was a lot of hope in Los Angeles. Then that got derailed for some time because of the pandemic. And then once the season got going, the postseason arrived, Mookie proved just how special he was. At the plate, on the bases, in the field. Five-tool player. Game six of the World Series, he had a sixth-inning double. Brilliant base running, gave them the lead. Added a solo homer in the eighth. And, of course, there's a lot of credit to go around here. Clayton Kershaw, the rest of the staff, pitched well. Corey Seager was the MVP. Several players contributed. Dave Roberts, hopefully, will get some credit here as well. But while Corey Seager was the MVP, Mookie Betts was the MVD. He was the most valuable Dodger. There's a lot of questions with last night's game. And, you know, you look at, let me just start on the field. I'll get to Justin Turner in a moment here. But just what was going on with the pitching matchup. We thought it was going to be a bullpen session for the Dodgers. And basically, let's see what happens in Game 6. If we have to go to a Game 7, we have a well-rested Walker Buehler. But you're using seven pitchers there, and you allowed one earned run. Blake Snell was cruising. Blake Snell, through the first four or five innings, was brilliant. 73 pitches. But the analytics will tell you that once he gets to the third go-round in the lineup, that's when trouble happens for Blake Snell. That's around the fifth or sixth inning. So if I gave you inning by inning ERA before last night for Blake Snell in the postseason, first inning ERA is 3.60. Second inning, 0.00. Third inning, 1.80. Fourth inning, 0.00. Fifth inning, 14.73 ERA. Now, if you're going to make a decision based off of that, the analytics, then you're probably looking at third time around, top of the lineup with the Dodgers. Mookie Betts was leading off, and Blake Snell was pulled by his manager, Kevin Cash. Here's what Kevin Cash had to say as to why he took out his pitcher.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions, and that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Okay, if you're going to criticize this, then you have to be critical prior to him pulling Blake Snell. The only thing I thought when I'm watching it is, and I didn't know the ERA in the fifth inning for him in the postseason, the third time around. I do know that Mookie was not hitting left-handers well. Mookie, after the game on Fox, the postgame, was like, whew, we were happy to get rid of him. I felt like I had a chance with somebody else. You want to bring in your reliever who hasn't pitched well in the postseason. Are you using analytics with that decision? When you bring in Anderson, are you using analytics to say, maybe we shouldn't be bringing him in because he has not pitched well in the postseason? There's something about analytics, and there's something about a gut feeling. The only thing I would want to know if I'm the manager, all right, let me see where we are on the pitch count, and I know that we're coming up with the top of the lineup again. I just want to know what my catcher is going to tell me. And I want him to tell me, look, they're not even close to hitting him. He's still got good velocity. He's got still has good bite on his breaking ball. He was pitching so well and in such control there, but I don't know if all of a sudden your catcher, and I would say to him, you got to be honest with me. I don't even go to Blake Snell. I'd go to my catcher and say, I want you to put yourself in my position. What would you do? I mean, these are big boy decisions here. This will stay with Kevin Cash for a long, long time. And Blake Snell maybe was going to get torched, maybe get lit up. I don't like being married to analytics because there also has to be a gut feeling in the moment. This is the World Series. Because if I'm Blake Snell, you say, let me try to win, but also let me try to lose the game too. And by that, I mean, let me stay out there. If I lose the game, I'm your best option. I want to be out there. I want to stay in. I want to pitch as long as I can to win. But even if I'm out there and we lose, I want to be the guy on the mound. And it's rare when the pitcher gets to talk the manager out of a decision because Kevin Cash came out there armed with analytics and basically was saying, before he got out there, I'm taking you out. And Blake Snell knew that. And Blake Snell was not thrilled. This is what he had to say about trying to stay on the mound.
Definitely disappointed, upset. I don't know. I just want the ball. I felt good. I did everything I could to, prove my case to stay out there. And then for us to lose, it sucks.
What if he had left Blake Snell in and Blake Snell got torched, not the reliever? Then we would be all over who today? You use your analytics all these months. That's the reason why you were the favorite in the American League. And then you went against analytics. Because we're looking at the results here. I just want to know what Blake Snell was thinking. And I want to know what my catcher felt like he was seeing and feeling. And the reaction, you know, with the hitters too. You know, how close are they? A lot of times you'll see guys who are right on somebody's fastball. You know, they always say, oh, he just missed that. I didn't get that feeling with the Dodgers. And then I'm bringing in a reliever who hasn't pitched well in the postseason. What were the analytics on that? Because if I'm married to the analytics to take out my pitcher, then I'm going to be married to the analytics of maybe not bringing in that reliever. I feel like we should just date analytics. I don't know if we should be marrying analytics. I just want to date. You know, I think we should see other people. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. McLovin, you got a poll question for me?
Yes, Paulie worded it, and I like it. Always trust analytics or your gut. Mm. So it's black and white. You can't go one or the other. Yeah, you can't be like, well, sometimes I'll trust analytics. I think it has to be noted that Andrew Friedman is the president of the Dodgers, and he's like one of the grandfather. You know, he built the Rays. He's like an analytics stud. Theo Epstein, one with the Cubs and the Red Sox, analytics stud. Jeff Luhnow and the Astros, analytics. The Dodgers pulled a perfect analytics game last night. They did one inning of their starter.
The Astros had different analytics, though.
Yeah. They actually were famous for their analytics. It turned out it was a garbage can reliever. <Yes.
laughs> I understand analytics. It's not like I'm an analytics denier. It's just I think that you get married to something. And it feels like in that moment, you have to have a human element. How many times do you see somebody? If we did analytics, Kurt Gibson wouldn't have come to the plate for the Dodgers against the Oakland A's. Because we'd say he can't catch up to Eckersley. Madison Bumgarner probably wouldn't pitch as long as he did in games with the Giants when he was so brilliant. Like, it feels like some great baseball moments would have been prevented because of analytics. And that's the only thing that I get a little concerned about. And I've railed against analytics from the standpoint as I think it's taken the heart and soul out of baseball. I don't think it's as enjoyable. There's no movement. How many times did the Rays strike out last night? You know, there's no on-base percent. Like, nobody cares about any of that stuff. And it feels like I'm celebrating Mookie Betts today because why? In the field, great defense, on the bases, and at the plate. I'm looking at everything that he offers baseball. And that's what I love seeing. I don't like one-dimensional. And baseball feels like is one-dimensional. And that's where analytics sometimes comes in. It's like, hey, you don't need to take, lay down a bunt, you know, steal a base. You don't have to do any of those things. You know, maybe. But it felt like the Dodgers did some small things in this series that helped them win. And I would have left Blake Snell in if I thought Blake Snell was still, virtually unhittable. He wasn't striking out. I don't know the last guy he struck out. McLovin, if you can find that. Paulie, do you have that?
Yeah, Blake Snell struck out the side in the fourth inning. Seager, Muncy, and Turner struck him out. 1-2-3.
Okay.
In the fifth inning, it was a 1-2-3 inning, but everyone got a bat on the ball.
Okay.
So that's the difference. So those are his last two innings.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have left him in. It's the World Series. If my answer was going to be a reliever who hadn't pitched well, then it makes me stay with Snell a little bit longer. And it might be one of those where I say to him, if you give up a hit, I'm taking you out. But I have to let him still be on the mound there. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't know if the Nick Anderson thing is analytics, though. I think it's like one of those situations, go with the guys who got you there. You know why they kept trusting Nick Anderson.
Yeah, but he hadn't pitched well in the postseason, so yeah. There was something about whatever he was doing or not doing.
I just feel like sometimes the managers trust a reliever and they'll go down with the ship. Analytics or not analytics.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
you know. By the way, analytics would have loved Kirk Gibson. They love guys who can't run but can just hit. That's like the signature Moneyball guy, slow guy.
All right, we're gonna take a break. Because I want to come back. I want to talk about Justin Turner, what happened prior to the game, during the game, after the game. Dodgers respond to Justin Turner without a mask on, posing in front of everybody with the World Series trophy there. Commissioner got booed when he was handing out the World Series trophy. I didn't know there were enough fans in the stands to make it sound that loud with all the boos in there. But he got booed. We'll take a break. We'll settle on a poll question. Your phone calls are always welcome. It's 14 after the hour. Once again, we'll talk to Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, the Bills. Josh Allen will stop by. Sean Casey, Major League Baseball Network, will join us coming up as well. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Every 26 seconds, there's a break-in in this country. But with Simply Safe Home Security, you can protect your whole home around the clock. And it's serious, lasting protection. This is award-winning protection. An arsenal of sensors, security cameras that blanket every inch of your home. And you do it. You set it up. Probably 30 minutes or less. No tools, no wiring, no technician, no salesperson has to step foot in your home. Order it online, comes to your doorstep, and then you install it. Simply Safe will then monitor your home around the clock. Security professionals are there in case of an emergency to immediately send help to your home. There's no contracts, no hidden fees, no installation cost. And if you don't trust me and what I have to say about Simply Safe, U.S. News and World Report named it Best Overall Home Security of 2020. Right now, visit SimplySafeDan.com. They're going to give you a free security camera plus 60-day risk-free trial with any new system order. Nothing to lose except everything in your home. Go to today to SimplySafeDan.com. SimplySafeDan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite spacious near silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
On November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. It was a great series, a lot of drama and a lot of heroes, some questionable moves there. And, of course, we end up with Justin Turner of the Dodgers pulled from the World Series last night after a positive COVID-19 test. We didn't know why at the time, but Turner went 0 for 3. He had two strikeouts. He came out of the game starting the eighth inning. The team didn't give a reason for his exit when he left. Sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan Turner had been asked to isolate after the positive test, but no one stopped him from going onto the field to celebrate. Sources told Passan that in the second inning, the lab doing a COVID-19 test informed baseball Turner's test from Monday came back inconclusive. So that's in the second inning. It's unclear why the results of the test arrived after the game started, but we're trying to get somebody who was on the ground there to help us understand that. Samples taken from Tuesday arrived at the lab, and Turner, his were run immediately. When it showed up positive, the league called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner. The Dodgers didn't have a choice in this. I don't know how long they waited to pull him from the game. I don't know if this was a case of Jeff Passan or Kenny Rosenthal maybe finding this out and the Dodgers had to pull him or Major League Baseball had to pull him. Why you get results back during a game? That was the strange part of it. What kind of, you know, COVID protocol do you have that you're running test and you're getting results back to, you know, during a game? Here is Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers president, on Justin Turner testing positive.
It was obviously a really unfortunate end point of this incredible series and definitely, you know, affected some of the joy from winning just because of how much JT has meant to us and, you know, him not being able to be on the field for that final out with everything he's done for this organization. But, you know, it's something that it's no one's fault. It's just how things played out. And, you know, we'll figure out exactly how to proceed going forward.
Because I'm going to assume that everybody is going to get tested again after the game before they go their merry way after winning. Are they going to have a celebration? Is there going to be some kind of celebration in Los Angeles? Will they get together for that? I think Justin Turner is a free agent in waiting here. But we'll ask Dave Roberts when he joins us a little bit later on. And we're trying to get somebody who was there at the game, whether it's Jeff Passan or Kenny Rosenthal. And I know they're being pulled in a lot of different directions. We're just curious about this whole process and how it got to the point where you find out in the second inning and the next thing you know, in the eighth inning, he's pulled and there was no reason given. And then he's out there celebrating. He had his mask on for most of the time, but he insisted on not having his mask on when they had the World Series trophy there, and that was briefly there. But baseball realizes it was not a good look last night. That's why the commissioner said, you know, that there was a bittersweet moment for Major League Baseball. Yeah, Paul.
One thing that confused me, I'd like clarity on, is if MLB knows that Justin Turner has tested positive, let's say in the middle of the seventh inning, I wonder if they considered letting him finish out the game since there's two more innings. He had already played seven innings. Or were they in a position where if they do that, that would be disaster, knowingly let a player finish a game?
If somebody found that out.
Right.
Then it would be that baseball has been so great. They've had no positive tests for 58 days. None. and then you get one at this point? And was it a false positive? We weren't quite sure. It was inconclusive. Then you run the test again, and then it comes back, and then you say, we got a polling from the game. There's more to this story. I don't know what direction it goes in, but it feels like there's a whole lot more to this story. And plus, he had been around his teammates this whole time. And what are the odds that if Justin Turner has this, that other players on the Dodger roster are not infected? Maybe they're asymptomatic. But you have wives there, families there. Oh, but you know, we're trying to get answers. And Fritzy's done a great job. He's trying to track down somebody who was there at the game. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We're talking about analytics. We just got a tweet. Phil, who is a Cubs fan since 89, says the Houston Astros use trash can analytics. I think that's pretty good. Trash can analytics. Yeah, Paul?
I guess we got to get to this at some point. How much do you blame or not blame Justin Turner for his actions after the game? He waited till well after maybe MLB officials were out of the clubhouse or whatever and went on the field.
But he was told not to go out there.
Told, but not physically restrained or anything. I think I know what I would do if I were in that situation. I was Justin Turner. I would probably do the similar thing. I would, you know, I would probably be more, I don't know if he's a Dodger in 4 months from now. And I think I would probably go out and get the picture of my teammates with a mask on if I could. I just know myself. And my wife, obviously, whatever I have, she has.
These are your teammates and other people around you, and you can't be careless. I know you want to celebrate, but you can't be careless.
I think I would have gone out there and said, I'm possibly positive, and I'm going to go out and get the picture and do 2 or 3 minutes and then move on. I wasn't going to do the monkey pile with him and jostle around.
I mean, he shouldn't have been out there. He shouldn't be out there. And if you are out there, wear a mask the whole time. But, you know, that's not a good look. Not a good look. And it's an unfortunate moment because it takes away from a greater moment that the Dodgers won the World Series. Yeah, see.
In the moment, though, it's got to be pretty difficult.
Yes, it is.
It's got to be pretty difficult to lay off on that.
But you're already told that you're taken out of the game in the eighth inning, and you're told by Major League Baseball to not go on the field. It's a tough moment. Baseball tells you not to go on the field. Your Dodger president, Andrew Friedman, talked about it. So, you know, it's unfortunate because we should be just talking about the Dodgers and what an unbelievable season and baseball pulling this off, somehow making it work. No positive test for 58 days, and then we have one in the World Series in Game 6. You had Blake Snell being pulled from the game. Mookie Betts was awesome. Corey Seager, MVP. Clayton Kershaw finally gets his World Series win. I mean, there are a lot of great moments here. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on what happened with Justin Turner, but I don't want to overlook it either. Because could this happen in, let's say this happened in the Super Bowl. Third quarter. Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have to come out. We got an inconclusive test here, or you tested positive. But that's what happened last night. As crazy as it may sound, that's what happened last night. Jeff Passan from the Mothership joining us on short notice. Jeff, thanks for joining us. I hate to focus on just one thing, but we're trying to figure out what was happening in real time with the Dodgers and Justin Turner. And when everybody, like, why did this test come back during the middle of Game 6 of the World Series?
Boy, is that a great question, Dan. And the one, now there are two things that I'm still a little confused about. The first is that I was told that the tests from Monday, which should have been back before game time on Tuesday, before Game 6, had not arrived. The results arrived in the second inning, and they said that Justin Turner's test was inconclusive. It showed some signs that he might be positive, and right around then, the tests that were taken on Tuesday, the day of Game 6, had arrived in Utah at Major League Baseball's lab for COVID-19 testing. And they said, don't rerun that original inconclusive test. Let's just go straight to the new one and spin that sucker. And it takes about 2 hours to get results. And in between the second inning, when they had the inconclusive test from Monday, And the seventh inning, when they had finally gotten the results from Tuesday's testing, they realized that Tuesday's came back positive, called up the Dodgers, said, get him out of the game as soon as you can. And that's why Justin Turner sat down and everything that happened happened.
Okay, but he's been around his teammates. We've had no positives for 58 days.
Yep.
I don't know if baseball ran the risk of leaving him in the game since he had already been around his teammates. He, you know, here he is in the seventh inning here. I don't know if reporters, I don't know if you or Kenny Rosenthal, like you guys found out and baseball had to do this. I mean, I hate to be cynical or skeptical with this, but it's kind of crazy. It just went unfolded and right?
It's totally crazy and it's totally ridiculous. I will say this though, and correct me if I'm wrong here because I might be off, but I think if Justin Turner had tested positive and had remained in isolation, it would have been a part of this story, but it would not have been the focus like it is right now. And the fact that he was out there on the field, the fact that he went out there with a mask but took it down, taking pictures with his wife, and took it off when he was sitting next to the World Series trophy on his left and Dave Roberts, his manager, a cancer survivor, on the right, who was also maskless. You know, Andrew Friedman talked about the optics and how the optics were bad, if that's the case, and the optics were bad. But, I mean, it goes beyond optics, too, right? Like, it's just, it's a health thing. And it's a bummer that baseball had done as well as it had for as long as it had, and then when something like this happened, it was pulled off in such a slipshod, just ugly way. And I don't think, you know what, to me, I don't think it takes away from what the Dodgers did and from the meaning of this. I think when we look back 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to look back and say that the Dodgers won the World Series for the first time in 32 years. But in the moment, it feels wrong and it looked wrong. And, you know, you can have a lot of excuses. You can say he's been around his teammates and people in the organization in close quarters. He rode the bus with them over to the park that day, a 20-minute bus ride. So clearly he was, you know, close enough to people for more than 15 minutes that they're pretty much all going to be contacts with him at this point, and that all the people who he ran into on the field were people who he had run into already otherwise. But even still, you know, baseball had done such a good job up until this point, and it's unfortunate that it went the way that it did.
Yeah, imagine if there was a game seven. Like,
oh, my goodness. Like, you know, it's interesting you say that, because let's say Blake Snell hadn't been pulled out of the game. Let's say he continued to shove the way that he was, and Justin Turner's COVID test came back positive. Number one, Justin Turner's not going to be playing in a game seven. Number two, it's going to be at least 2 days until another game seven. And if there are more positive tests that come in, it's going to delay it again and again and again. And we're just going to be sitting here for Lord knows how long while this whole thing happens. And, you know, I hope like hell that there are no other positive tests that come back. But if there were, imagine that these players have to sit out, you know, upward of 2 weeks, and the Dodgers are going out there for a game seven playing with a roster that's, you know, three quarters its normal size, that they're missing multiple players who they would have there in a normal situation. I mean, Major League Baseball is thanking its lucky stars right now that this was the outcome.
We're talking to Jeff Passan from ESPN, the great baseball reporter. When I watched Blake Snell through the first four innings and it seemed to be cruising, and I know what the analytics were when he gets to the fifth inning, but I'm just not sure. This got the Rays here. I understand that they are based in analytics. I just didn't know if anybody talked to anybody, like the catcher. Like, did anybody say, Blake wants to stay in there? I just didn't know. This is the World Series. This is game six. Guys have a propensity to step up even higher, taller in a bigger moment. I didn't know if Blake Snell all of a sudden was not getting bite on his curveball, didn't have velocity, didn't have location. All I know is what Mookie Betts said after the game, Jeff. He's like, basically, thank God he got out of there because I had a chance to get a hit.
It's really interesting, and I want to make a comparison that I haven't heard a whole lot, Dan. 24 hours earlier, Clayton Kershaw was out on the mound having gotten two outs on two pitches in the sixth inning, and Dave Roberts walked out there and got absolutely booed to death by all the Dodger fans who were at the stadium there. And we're not sitting here today talking about the Dodgers as world champions who were based on analytics. What the Rays did was really no different than what the Dodgers did. Now, you can make the argument that Blake Snell has better stuff than Clayton Kershaw, and it's true. And you can make the argument that Blake Snell looked just as sharp as he did. But that's also, you know, running into the fallacy of what you've done is what you're going to do. That's not always the case. This will be like an all-time, you know, what could have been. And we think because he was so great beforehand that he was going to continue that. And me, if I'm the manager, if I'm Kevin Cash, yeah, I'm probably keeping him in there. But I'm saying that from a position of privilege where, A, I don't have to make those decisions.
Yeah, but Anderson hadn't pitched well, Jeff. That was my point, is I'm bringing in a guy who has struggled.
Yes.
If you're going to tell me that Blake Snell, third time around, is going to struggle, I'm going to keep you in until you give up a hit. And then you know that, I know that, and then we will part ways on the mound. But until then,
I mean, admittedly, Dan, he had just given up a hit.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Like Austin Barnes had hit the last pitch he threw, which was the 94.3-mile-per-hour fastball, which was his slowest of the night. Up the middle, you know, Blake Snell had been sitting at 96 all night. Now, I'd like to think I'm smart enough not to base my analysis of a player on a single pitch that he threw. Blake Snell could have come out and thrown the next one at 97 for all I know. You know, the velocity on his off-speed pitches in that inning thus far had been consistent with the other ones that he had thrown.
And Mookie had not hit left-handers. He had not hit Snell. I mean, I'm not basing this off the results, because in the moment I said, you know what, I would definitely leave him in there.
I will say this, Dan. It's incredible that Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner, who have been awesome, all three of them this postseason, went 0 for 6 with 6 punch-outs against Blake Snell the first two times through the order.
Yeah, I know. Great job, and thank you again for all the times that you got up and joined us on the program the entire season. Always entertaining. We're thinking, though, your voice reminds us of a younger Keith Morrison from NBC Dateline.
I'll take that. That guy rules.
Can you say, oh, that pesky DNA?
I would love to.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry. Okay. I haven't slept yet, so I don't know how it's going to come out.
Okay.
Oh, that pesky DNA.
Enjoy the off season, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. Safe travels home.
Gentlemen, the pleasure is always mine. Thanks for having me.
That's Jeff Passan from the Mothership. Good job, Todd, trying to track him down. You know, we wanted to get Kenny Rosenthal or Jeff. They were there and reporting on this. You know, they had some access behind the curtain. Yeah, Paul.
If you could have any piece of video, and I said Rob Manfred getting informed that Justin Turner had just tested positive for COVID or anything else on earth, I can't imagine his face. He's like, this is it. I got the World Series done. Yes. He's sitting there in his suite. He's sitting there enjoying it.
He's working on his, rehearsing his speech to hand out the trophy.
He's got a ginger ale in one hand. He's about to make it to home plate.
And all of a sudden, what? What happened? Who tested pot? What? Wait, I got to do what? I got to call the Dodgers and tell them what? Oh, Derek in Virginia. Hi, Derek. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Good morning. 5'11", 175. Thank you. I am furious watching that game last night when Snell got pulled. I'm a very casual baseball fan. My father was in from out of town. I haven't sat and watched a baseball game with my dad in God only knows how long. And I'm watching Snell do this stuff like he's throwing heat, he's hitting corners, and we're analyzing the game together, and he gives up one hit and they yank him?
Yeah.
Like, we're watching one of the all-time great performances. Two hits.
Yeah, and I didn't. And thank you, Derek. Got a little issue with your phone there. I just wasn't sure about his velocity. And, you know, Mookie had not done anything against him. That's why my gut feeling, and this isn't based off analytics, it was just the gut feeling of how they were swinging. A lot of times you can tell how good somebody's stuff is where you see them and they're not close. But, and I realized that it can change drastically, but my thought when I watched it in real time was the Dodgers didn't look comfortable against Blake Snell. I don't know what's going to make them a little more comfortable, but I would have left him in to face Mookie Betts and live with the results there. It's the World Series. The guy you bring in is not pitching well. Is he going to be pitching better than Blake Snell's going to be pitching if I leave Blake Snell in there? Yeah, Paul.
I think you're right, Dan, and I think the manager would have got less criticism for following his gut. Analytics are easy to rip, but saying, hey, you know what? I trusted my guy. Blake was crushing. Would be less critiquable, if that's a word, because it's a person and not a concept.
Yeah, and I know that people have changed baseball and some great results with analytics. I just think there's a certain point where you ask somebody, can you go? You okay? How you feel? And you can tell. These guys can tell that the sound of the ball when it hits the catcher's mitt, the break on it, what it sounds like when the Dodgers are making contact. You can tell if somebody is not fooled anymore. And it just felt like the Dodgers were still uncomfortable there. Whether they, the Rays would have won, I don't know. But I like their chances better with Blake Snell in there. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, they had to score a run, though. They they weren't going to shut him out the whole game.
Well, that goes back to what I told you. When the series started, this isn't a good team getting on base. They don't do anything. How they got to the World Series is mind-boggling. Because if they didn't have a Rosarena, they would have no chance. Yeah, McLovin.
It's amazing to me, too. The Dodgers were down 3-1 to the Braves. Like, this was this series could have, everything could have gone differently.
Crazy. All right, more phone calls coming up. We got our play of the day, a tribute to Mookie Betts right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite exquisitely spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Fairbanks delivers and bets with a fly ball to left field. Well hit. It's on its way. It's gone. Mookie Betts with a home run. Dodgers lead 3-1, inching closer to the World Series championship on a home run by Mookie Betts.
Charlie Steiner with the call, AM 570, LA Sports, Dodgers Radio Network. Dodgers' 13th consecutive game with a home run, the longest streak all time within a single postseason. He scored the Dodgers' last two runs to secure the Dodgers' first World Series title since 1988. Darren Revell with some numerology. Kobe's numbers, 8 plus 24 equal 32. Dodgers' World Series drought, 1988 to 2020, 32. Magic Johnson's number, 32. Play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by the Breeders' Cup on November 6th and 7th. The world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Dave Roberts in the final hour of the program. And Sean Casey, Major League Baseball Network analyst, will join us coming up as well. We'll check in with Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback. Will join us as well. No baseball, no NFL, no college football tonight. And once again, congratulations to the Dodgers beating the Rays 3-1. More of your phone calls here. Reggie in Tampa Bay. Hey, Reg.
Hello, Dan and Dennis. How are you guys today?
Doing okay. You don't sound too good.
No, not really. Well, let me get this in. 6-1 and a rapidly decreasing 250. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, guys, you should have listened to the post-game show down here on your affiliate down here on 620 WDAE, because I tell you, cash was roasted better than anything you guys would cook on a meat Friday. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable the move that he made. And it's just really disappointing. You, when a guy's dealing like that, I don't see what analytics or sabermetrics or analytics or any kind of icks, because that's what the game ended up being, ick, that you would take some guy out like that. Now, I think Tim Kirchner said it best, because after the game was over, I didn't want to see the Dodgers celebrate. I just switched over to the mothership. And Tim Kirchen said it best, to where it seems like in today's baseball, we stopped watching the game or we lost the feel for the game. When you see a guy that's dealing like that and just mowing him down, and to go to the bullpen at that point, it just was ridiculous.
Well, you know, in fairness to Cash, he got you to the World Series with the analytics. Thank you, Reggie. This was just a gut feeling. I think there has to be the human element mixed in with the analytics. It can't just be numbers crunching, because baseball is not, it's not built on that. You can do certain things at certain times with certain players, but there's also that element of, I'm going to leave him in. Imagine all the great pitching performances if we use today's analytics. You know, Madison Bumgarner was a warrior when he was out there for the Giants. He just said, hey, put me out there. Start me. Relieve me. I'm going to be there to help you. And these guys who go past seven innings, I mean, it feels like those guys are dinosaurs. Wait, how long did you go? I went seven innings. Oh, my God. These guys are supposed to be in better shape, better nutrition, better travel, you know, better accommodations, everything. And we're struggling for them to go 5 2/3. If you're a workhorse, that means you go maybe six innings. But it just feels like, you know, when, I don't know what scouts are looking at when they go see a pitcher now. Are they looking at somebody who can go every day for an inning? Because it feels like that's where baseball is going. Are there going to be starters? I mean, starter in name only. Yeah, McLovin.
And that might be the takeaway from last night, that bullpen method might, I mean, it was a dominant performance.
Yes.
16 strikeouts out of that bullpen. If you go left, right, left, right, left, right, I mean.
Yes. I get it. I understand what they're doing. It's not exciting baseball, but it did win a World Series for you and got another team to the World Series doing that. That philosophy. Yeah, Paul.
I wonder if these GMs and owners look at that bullpen style as also a financial move, where I don't have to pay some guy $175 million for 6 years ever again, because there not be any starting pitchers that command that money.
Yeah, I was wondering about Gerrit Cole. And going, is that the last big baseball contract for a pitcher? Because why would I invest $300 million in a starting pitcher? As much as I love Gerrit Cole, but I don't know where we're going with starting pitching. Yes, McLovin?
But the Nationals won with starting with two aces last year. So it's like every other year.
All right, but that feels like that's such a long time ago. Baseball's changed so much. But hey, the Rays did it, and it worked, got them to the World Series. They were not a good team.
Wait, but did you pick them to go
yes,
to the World Series?
Yes, because of their pitching. The depth of their pitching is the reason why. And I said, if they hit, they'll win. The Dodgers, it was, they'll hit. If they pitch, they'll win. Simple as that. And that's what happened. The Rays did not hit. Dodgers hit and got some pitching in there. We'll hear from more of the Dodgers coming up next hour. And Sean Casey will join us on loan from the Major League Baseball Network. And more of your phone calls as well. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly, Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You can trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.